Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad that you're able to join me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled, Of Mercy and Judgment. And we're going to learn some things on a rather esoteric passage of scripture found in the life of the prophet Elijah. And we were reading from 2 Kings, the very first chapter, and I took the time yesterday to read all 16 verses, but I'll just try to summarize for those of you who perhaps may not have heard the broadcast. And incidentally, if at any time you miss a broadcast or want to re-listen, please feel free to go to our website, www.unveilchrist.org, click on the broadcast, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. They're archived there for a number of years, praise God. So what do we have in this first chapter of 2 Kings? We have a king of Israel by the name of Ahaziah. He was the son of Ahab and Jezebel, and he was wicked like his father and mother. And he had an accident. He fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and he was sick. And instead of going to God, because, you know, every generation, God judges an individual on the basis of the choices they make in their own lives. There are no grandchildren in God's family. Just because mom and dad serve the Lord, that doesn't automatically mean the children will serve the Lord. Now, I know God honors the prayers of parents, and He hears the prayers for our loved ones. Nonetheless, a child is not saved simply because the parents are saved. However, with prayers and godly instruction and training, they will come to the Lord by the examples that is set for them. However, every person has that choice. God does not violate or transgress man's free will. So here we see the heir of Ahab, the son who was on the throne, and some real bad thing happened to him. And instead of inquiring of God, he sent messengers to inquire of Baal, the god of Ekron, whether he would recover. And throughout this episode, because if you recall, if you heard yesterday's broadcast, basically that first contingent of messengers goes out and they meet Elijah, because Elijah has a word for them. He says, go back, tell your master, because you've sought Baal, you're not going to recover, you're going to die. They never went to where they were supposed to have gone to inquire, but they came right back. And then Ahaziah sent another contingent, the same thing, to speak to Elijah. And in both cases, Elijah called down fire from heaven and consumed them. And then there was a third group that came. And of course, this third captain with the 50 men knew what had happened to the others, and he begged for mercy. And at that point in time, they were not destroyed. God spoke to Elijah and said, go with them, don't be afraid. And then he literally, face to face, gave that same message to King Ahaziah. And so, what can we learn from this? And I believe we can make much application to the world in which we are now living. If Ahaziah had made the right choice and took the right action, his fall could have been a great blessing, as it would have enabled him to know his need of calling on the God of heaven and receiving divine assistance and healing. Instead, he chose to inquire of the God of Ekron, or its true meaning, the God of flies. This was one of the great transgressions that Israel walked in. They turned their back on serving the living and true God, and bad things happened. God told them, warned them, that that would occur. And in the lives of our loved ones or people that we're praying for, people that we know, sometimes it takes a serious illness, it takes a misfortune or a calamity to wake them up and to begin to really question the things that they have laid belief and confidence upon. It's God uses moments like that when a man's heart or a woman's heart can really be turned to the Lord. You probably heard that statement, there are no atheists in foxholes. So when you're facing life and death, then if any time a heart is going to be softened, it's at that time. Listen, my friend, God is not balked. Instead of letting Ahaziah follow his own ways and flaunt his wickedness in God's face and in face of all of Israel, his subjects, God raised up his servant Elijah and put him right in front of the king's messengers with the sentence of death. Elijah was commissioned to speak, "Thus saith the Lord." God said, "Tell those messengers, is it because there's not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron?" That was verse 3. And beloved, if there's ever a time God's people today need a testimony of light and life, it is today when multitudes are forsaking God, who is the fountain of living waters. They're hewing out for themselves broken cisterns that can hold no water. This was a judgment that the prophet Jeremiah declared in his warnings and judgment to the people of Israel that God gave him to declare. Now I'll read what Jeremiah said. He's speaking to ancient Israel, but can we not apply this to our own lives and our own nation? Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be appalled, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Beloved, you may or may not be aware of what is going on in the world beyond what you get in the major news networks, and you may not be aware of what is going on in the churches. And I'm not speaking in a critical way or a condemning way, because God has always had a remnant of believers who love their God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their strength. We realize Jesus is our God. He is coming again, and it is our task to redeem the time, to speak to men, to witness, to testify by word and by example of our lives that there is a God in heaven, to warn people before it is too late. What did Jesus say? What was the Great Commission? Go into all nations and preach the gospel and make disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He gave us a commission, and that has never changed. But beloved, there is a move in some of our, quote, churches that have gone away from the simplicity of the gospel. There are literally well-known preachers that are taking out the cross from their sanctuaries. They are not preaching on sin. They are not speaking about salvation. They are being seeker-friendly. They don't want to do anything or say anything that would make the, quote, unchurched. It's no longer the saved and unsaved. It's the churched and unchurched. They are totally diluting the power of the gospel. They're reaching out to other forms of religion like Islam and say, well, you know, we need to all just come together. Beloved, that is heresy. The people who do that have forsaken the God that they once knew. I remember years ago, Brother Glass, this was years ago, long before I came to the ministry, he never spoke against preachers, but he actually went over to Bob Jones' temple in San Francisco with one of his elders, and he came back and he said, that man is not of God. And some of the very people who were part of his congregation died in with Jones over there when they took the poison. I'm telling you what, beloved, we're living in serious times, and we've got to know the Word of God. We have to understand that God is a God of judgment. He will punish sin. He will take retribution on his enemies, on those who have stiffened their neck and hardened their heart against the cross of Jesus Christ. But his mercy is from everlasting into everlasting. What can we learn? This is an example of a king who had a warning. There were two contingents of messengers that went to inquire of the god of Ekron, of Baal. And these two groups were incinerated. And you would think, with that demonstration of divine power, that King Ahaziah might have considered that the word that was given to them, that he might have considered his ways, the historical truths of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who brought his people out of Egyptian bondage. There's another example in 2 Kings, a little bit further on in that very same book. And this is a man, of course, he was a godly man, but the word of the Lord came to him, and it was the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him in chapter 20, verse 1. He says, "Thus says the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Period. He turned his face and went out. But what happened to Hezekiah? He prayed. He turned to the Lord. He sought God. And before he even got out of the courtyard, the prophet, he had to come back and say, "The Lord is saying, I'll add 15 more years to your life." So you see the difference with the descendants. A heart that is sensitive to God and one that's rejecting him. However, God was giving him a chance. Well, we're just getting into the message. I pray that you'll be able to join me tomorrow. If at any time you miss, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and click on the broadcast, and you can listen at any time at your convenience. In the moments that remain, however, I am thrilled to be able to offer a book to you that Brother Glass wrote years ago, a little booklet, Which Way Are You Running?, which will stir and encourage your faith. As I've shared before, it was a medical director of a Christian facility that was so touched by this very booklet over 30 years ago and requested 100 copies for her pastor and her church. So I invite you to write the free of charge for the asking. If you email, you must include your mailing address so we can put it in the mail to you. And also include and send your prayer requests. That's one of the major aspects of this ministry, prayer and correspondence. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.